The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and Verizon.
One step closer to training camp, the Bears announcing today that training camp practice number one will begin on July 28th, and they'll also have a couple of joint practices in New England against the Patriots leading up to preseason game number two against New England. So, one step closer to the start of the regular season. Hi, everyone. It's a special Monday edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Zaidman, joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. You can join us at 312-644-6767. Rookie mini camp in the books. I think the biggest thing now going forward is the coaching staff has a little bit of an idea of what they've got now that these young players have actually taken the field and done some of the things that the coaches have wanted to see them do since being drafted.
You're right, Zach. You know, one of the things, too, is you know what their physical skills have the ability to be, but you'd never know about their how much mentally they can retain and bring it to the field and then be able to do it quickly and at an instant's notice if you're an offensive player and you go to an audible or you're a defensive player and your assignment changes because of a movement on the offense. And that right now is going to be the deciding factor in a lot of these kids, if they're ever a success in the NFL, is that they're able to compute everything in their head at a football speed to allow them to get that next rep, to earn that next opportunity. And that's what the coaches have right now. You know, you get a chance to be in the classroom with these guys a little bit, and you get to understand, you know, what their strengths and what some of their weaknesses are.
Jim, isn't it just about being able to see who gets it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's interesting this offseason just how many throttled it back in towards of the rookie minicamps. I get it that a lot of these guys haven't played football and they've focused in on specific drills, but I do think there's an important part to go out on the field and practice because, as you just mentioned, Zach, I want to be able to evaluate a player, see if he's able to, you know, in the classroom work, that's fine, whether it's on the board, whether it's in film study, but once you get on the field and all that material that's introduced, I want to see if a player is able to apply it because at the end of the day, that's the important part. That's what the NFL is. You're constantly throwing information at players, and they have to be able to go out and apply it during the game planning, the preparation that leads up to a game. So, you know, I'm glad the Bears did it in a traditional sense. I know a lot of teams have scaled back in terms of the on-field practice work, but I think it's crucial, and I think it's really one of the more critical aspects of becoming a pro player is how quickly you can take that classroom material and apply it out on the field. The only way you can see it and evaluate it is when those players are being taped every single day.
Yeah, it's the ability to quickly process information, and the rookies had an opportunity to begin assembling at Halas Hall last week. A week ago today, they started arriving at Halas Hall. Some had to arrive a little bit later on in the week just because of their colleges and the graduation dates and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they were already in meetings. Phase two of the offseason program had started, so they did some work on the grass with the veterans. They were in the weight room training. They had an opportunity to visit with the sports scientists, the nutritionist, everyone that you have to visit in order to get yourself right as best you can for the beginning of the season. So there was a lot of work that was taking place behind the scenes before they even took the field for that rookie minicamp practice this weekend. And now it's all systems go for the Bears and every other team. I thought, at least in my opinion, one of the more interesting things that we found out, guys, during this rookie minicamp was our first opportunity to talk to the new Bears offensive coordinator, Dowell Loggins, to find out his philosophy. And, you know, he talked about how you're going to be a little bit different than what they were last year with Adam Gase. But in large part, there's a lot of talent that Loggins has at his disposal that Gase didn't have just because you have a healthy Kevin White, Tom. You add Alshon Jeffrey to the mix. The offensive line is going to be doing some different things this year. And I also spoke to Dave Magazoo, the offensive line coach. And Tom, he said it doesn't just matter that you beat the four down linemen at the line of scrimmage. You have to get to what he called the second level in order to make the offense go. And that's why he's placed such a premium on competition and athleticism on that offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get explosiveness out of your running game, that's really going to threaten the defense, and they're going to have to concentrate on getting that stop that leads to opening up your passing game. And that is the key to success. The offensive line has to be multidimensional at multiple levels. And that's what you talk about. You know, just going back to the academic side of football, is say Dave Magazoo is in the offensive line meeting room, and he's going to put in a series of five plays and maybe three protections and how they pertain to the passing game. But, you know, you have one day that you have to memorize that, because the next day you're going to get the equal amount of information and more, and you're not going to be able to forget what you learned from day one. So as all that stuff, you know, piles on top of itself, you do have to devise that offensive line to make sure that when they come out there, you know, they have to be the leader of this running game. It's got, you have to make sure that you fit in Jeremy Langford and all the running backs into the system to give them an understanding, you know, how they fit into the holes, where their responsibilities will come from in the offensive line, you know, going multiple levels to make sure they have those explosive runs to help hopefully what we saw last year in the running game, and then how it best you know, helps the passing game.
Jim, publicly, the Bears are tempering enthusiasm in regards to the first-round pick from this year, Leonard Floyd, and we'll get to that in just a bit. But they are not shy about hyping up last year's first-round pick, Kevin White, and talking about the fact that they believe he can be an elite-level wide receiver right away now that he's healthy. And I thought Tom brought up a good point last week, Jim, about how, you know, the top cornerback on the opposing team is going to be focused in on Alshon Jeffrey. You have to be, with the equity that he's built up in this league. Jeffrey has an opportunity to take advantage against corners that are not quite at the highest possible level. And I think given his size and speed, that could create some advantages that if you're Dow Loggins, you have to circle and say, that's how we're going to beat the opponent.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when you look at Kevin White, he's a height, weight, and speed freak. I mean, that's what, you know, even the players on the team rave about his athleticism. A lot of people had him rated that high coming out of West Virginia. Granted, he didn't run a lot of the route tree, but from what I understand, in all his personal workouts, they said he was phenomenal at the route tree and the routes he can run. So I think when you just look at Dow Loggins and his background, you know, Adam Gase, he'll credit a lot of his offense and approach to Josh McDaniels, now who's the offensive coordinator back at New England. At that point, when Adam Gase was added to the Denver Broncos coaching staff, he was under Josh McDaniels, then the head coach. It's very game plan specific in terms of the game plans. And that is Adam Gase's background and what he brought to the Bears last year. Dow Loggins is going to continue that type of offense where it's game plan specific. And much like we talked about last week, let's say one week Alshon Jeffrey is having a big week. He's got the mismatch. Now teams defensively are probably going to respond to that. Hey, we need to direct more of our secondary help too high, whether it's safety help, however they do it, to Alshon Jeffrey's side. Now some opportunities will open up for Kevin White on the other side. And so I really think each week this offense is going to morph. It's going to morph into different things, where one week it's going to be, you know, a run game that really can bruise the opponent, because I think the Bears can improve upon their 11th overall rushing offense from a year ago, and I would expect drastic improvement from the passing game. They were 23rd overall in the National Football League passing the football with a better offensive line, with better weapons out there with Jay Cutler, with Kevin White and Alshon Jeffrey on the field. I'd like to think their offense should make a significant jump as well.
Jim, I got a question for you. Do you think that when they go and practice against New England in the practices, not necessarily the game, but when you go to first team 7-on-7 or you're going through a teamwork, will you be able to get a snippet of information how teams see the tandem of receivers of Alshon and Kevin White in how they're distributing their talent?
Yeah, I think you'll get a good sense of what the Bears are trying to do offensively, and they're still trying to get work with both players, and obviously for Jay Cutler to feel to feel comfortable with both players. But, you know, I think for the Patriots, just in my experiences with them or any teams that work against each other leading up to a preseason game, you try to, both coaches will agree on, hey, this is what we need to work on. So Bill Belichick will oblige what John Fox wants to get done offensively and defensively, and also John Fox will oblige Bill Belichick and the things that he wants to work on offense and defense. And I can tell you, I've seen New England in these joint practices with the Washington Redskins. There is no missed opportunities. That team really just moves from drill to drill, and they're constantly working. So I think it'll be a great experience for the Chicago Bears, and I think more teams are trying to schedule those type of joint practices because you can get a lot of work done against an opponent and learn a lot of things about your football team.
That's Jim Miller, 85 Bear. Tom Thayer is with us. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority, and joining us now on the phone line is the second-round pick from Kansas State, the offensive lineman, Cody Whitehair. Cody, welcome to Bears All Access. Happy to have you aboard. Before we get to what happened this past weekend at rookie minicamp, give me an idea of what it was like when you first walked into the facility, specifically that offensive line meeting room. Who was the first of the linemen to greet you, and how did that go?
Yeah, it was really good. Kyle was obviously the first one to greet me. Kyle's a great guy, and I'll learn a lot from him in the future.
Hey, Cody, leading up to your experiences coming in the NFL, I was reading your bio. Did you have 15 sacks as a senior in high school? And if so, what was the deciding factor between you being an offensive lineman and not a defensive lineman?
Yeah, I did have 15 sacks my senior year. And, I did have some offers coming out of college to be a defensive lineman, but I just felt better as an offensive lineman.
Well, Cody, Jim Miller here. Congratulations on getting drafted by the Chicago Bears. And did you have any idea leading up to the 2016 NFL draft? How many times did you talk to Chicago, and did you believe it would be your ultimate ending place?
Yeah, I talked to Chicago on a few occasions. I talked to him at the Senior Bowl, also the Combine, and then I took a top 30 visit out there. So they showed a lot of interest in me, and I was just, I'm very fortunate to be where I am today, and I'm happy to be with this organization.
Visiting with Bears offensive lineman Cody Whitehair, the second-round pick from Kansas State, what did you learn at rookie minicamp? What did the Bears have you do, and did it go the way you expected?
My biggest thing that I was learning was the plays. I came in a week before, which gave me a little bit more help on those other guys. But, that was my biggest thing, was just learning the playbook. Felt like it went pretty good, and I did pretty well with that.
Cody, leading up to the draft, you just read a lot of different reports from evaluations of you. I've never heard you say that you can't play offensive tackle at the NFL level. I know you're going in here as an offensive guard, and you probably have center ability also. But in your experiences playing tackle in college, do you feel that you have the feet and the hands that if an emergency scenario, you could compete at an NFL level at left tackle?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've played it 2 years at tackle, so I feel pretty comfortable playing tackle. Obviously, this is a different, different league and different, everybody's good. Everybody, the level of competition is a little bit higher. But, in an emergency situation, I think I can get it done.
Well, Cody, it had to feel pretty good to don your Bears jersey for practices. But what, now going from college to pro, has anything surprised you as you start to settle in and really start to hone in on your craft in the NFL?
I think just the speed of the game. Everyone's big, everyone's strong, but the speed of the game and how fast, things happen is a lot faster than in college. So that's probably my biggest surprise.
Cody Whitehair, the Bears' second-round pick, our guest here on Bears All Access. Cody, at rookie minicamp, when you had an opportunity to meet with the media, you got a lot of questions about the size of your hands, your hand strength. But, when people spoke to Leonard Floyd, the first-round pick, he talked about how he's got an alarm now set on his phone that rings every 2 hours, and he's got to eat more food than he's ever eaten in his life every couple of hours. From a weight and strength standpoint, what have the Bears said to you? What do they want you doing going forward here to approach training camp?
They really haven't told me a whole lot. I'm 310 right now. I feel like that's a pretty good weight for me. If they do want me to put on some more weight, I'll be more than happy to put more weight on. I feel like I'm pretty strong, but there's always room to improve your strength as well. But I feel pretty good going into it.
Hey, Cody, how has the classroom part of it been for you through your first experience? Because I was saying that they load you up with so much information one day, and then they load you up with an equal amount the next day. Is it something that the process just needs to be, you know, you have to take some time at it, or does it seem more confusing because of the terminology at the level, at this level?
You know, I think that's the biggest thing, is the terminology and how you have so many different terms for each play. You know, whereas in college they kind of dumb it down for you a little bit. But I feel like I've transitioned into that really well. But, you know, I still have a lot to learn, that's for sure.
Well, Cody, in terms of fronts and things like that that you're going to be exposed to, I mean, how much in-depth did you get at Kansas State in terms of the fronts you were exposed to, and certainly all the blitzes that you're going to have to be able to pick up from an NFL offensive lineman standpoint? Was there a huge gap between that?
You know, there was a gap. I wouldn't say a huge gap, of course. I think the thing that really helped me was my versatility in playing different positions.
Yeah.
So that I could see, you know, the field from a bigger picture at tackle and guard. You know, so that it is a little bit different with the blitzes and the fronts and everything. It's more advanced, that's for sure. But, you know, I feel pretty confident in doing it and learning those.
Cody, as we say goodbye, you mentioned how – did you grow up on a farm in Kansas? Is that where the strength came from? You talked about how – you know, you were throwing around hay bales, and that's your country strong. Is that the right way to phrase it?
Yeah, you could say that. My dad's family has a farm south of Abilene, where I'm from. I really spent a lot of time there growing up. You know, in middle school and high school. Obviously, in college, you get a little bit busier, and you're not available to do very much on the farm due to your time restraints with football. But yes, I would consider myself a country kid and a farm kid, and that, you know, I pride myself with my strength in that.
Cody, thank you so much. Good luck the rest of the way.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Cody.
Cody Whitehair, the Bears' second-round pick, the offensive lineman from Kansas State, our guest here on Bears All Access. Let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Zach, Tom, and Jim, Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedy, and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/inside the Bears to check out show segments anytime. And this week, an encore presentation of Inside the Bears. Jay Cutler returns to Nashville and talks to Lauren about his time at Vanderbilt. And Spice joins a group of former Bear players visiting the comic convention C2E2. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My 50 Chicago and Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com anytime. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. We just spoke with the Bears' second-round pick, the offensive lineman Cody Whitehair. And Tom, what can you learn from a lineman during a rookie minicamp? Because the pads aren't on, you're not really hitting. So what can you learn about these guys in such a brief period of time?
You know, how do they respond to whatever challenge it is? Is it a physical challenge on the football field, an effort challenge during the drills, or the mental challenge when you're in the classroom? Because I don't mean to harp on that part of it, but people have to understand the difficulty of knowing the terminology well enough to go out there and run the play. But like I say, in the moment's notice, if they change you an audible and you're not clear-headed enough to understand there's a complete change of play, assignment, and snap count, that it's hard to go out there and sharp and, you know, and become the player that they really drafted you and believe you can be. To me, when I listen to a conversation with them and I hear the intelligence in which he speaks with, the understanding of every question, what it means to him and his job and his success and failure, a lot of those things can be answered right there. And obviously, Ryan Pace and the entire staff decided that, you know, he passed all qualifications for the Bears to be drafted here.
Jim, when you listen to, say, someone like Cody Whitehair talk, and obviously there isn't a position on the field where a guy has to know more than the quarterback position, can you tell right away if a guy gets it?
Yeah, I think he's a sharp guy. I think he's a football player, and I think he's a tough guy. You know, and as Tom knows, it's pretty easy in terms of the evaluations. When you're a player, whether it's a practice or a game, you get a plus or minus grade on every single play. Either you got it right or you failed on that particular play. And you're obviously, your goal as a player to have more pluses than what you do minuses. The coaches understand that there's a lot going through these rookies' heads. They want it to be that way. They want it to, all this information to be thrown at them, because they have to introduce it in some way, shape, or form. And players will start to sort it out, and then it gets better and better every single day. I think he's a quick study. I think he's a tough guy. I think he'll be just fine in his NFL career. But like anything else, if you're a player, you're only going to get out what you put in. The players that don't prepare and don't go through whether it's the playbook or spend time in the weight room, I say it all the time. It's not some test that you can cram for 2 weeks before training camp. This is a build-up to training camp. So you better take care and do your due diligence in all areas to prepare yourself so that you can get more pluses than minuses when you do get evaluated.
It's establishing habits. I think that's what right. Leonard Floyd was talking about, the first-round pick. And, you know, Vic Fangio was peppered with questions about how Floyd's going to be used, and you know, he did mention that the thing that stands out immediately about Floyd is the speed, and that was an issue for the Bears last season. They didn't have enough of it on the defensive side of the ball. He also said there are going to be some plays, because Floyd is raw, there are going to be some plays where, you know, you scratch your head and it looks like he's not quite sure what he's doing out there. But the hope is that there are also going to be a couple of plays every game that he does something that you didn't see anyone do last year for the Bears. So how do you take a guy who, from a number standpoint, you know, he only had 4.5 sacks last season, Jim, at Georgia. How do you take something like that and then turn it into production at the highest possible level of football?
Well, we really compared him to, say, Von Miller of the Denver Broncos. Think of Von Miller's speed, right? He's an undersized guy. Was he a defensive end? Is he an outside backer? He makes the transition. But right away, when Von Miller was drafted by Denver, kicked him down in pass situations to just a speed defensive end. So instantly on day one, and I think that's what the Bears plan on doing with Leonard Floyd, in third down pass rushing situations, he's going to be on the field, because that's an area where he can thrive in the NFL. And probably what Vic Fangio was, you know, things that aren't going to look so good. How about it's third and five, and all of a sudden the quarterback, a veteran quarterback, says, you want to know what? Let's see how our boy Leonard Floyd holds up against the run. And he checks to a run play, strong side run or a weak side run, right at Leonard Floyd, and see how he handles it and holds up in the strength department. Because those are the areas that I think we all understand that Leonard Floyd has to grow. That's why the weight is such an issue. How strong is he in the weight room? Because for him to convert his speed to a bull rush needs to be an asset. And right now it's not there. He's just relying on that one trait, which is speed. So I think we all know you can't just be a one-trick pony. There are areas that he's going to have to improve, and areas where he is going to be exposed, and then areas where he is going to thrive just due to his speed and what he brings to the table.
You know, Zach, you stand about 15 feet away from offense and defensive line one-on-ones when they're going on at training camp. And so in Leonard Floyd, as he starts to build up some reps, going against different offensive guys that are trying out the offensive tackle or the tight end position, the different sides of the ball, the different stance between a right-handed and left-handed stance, all that stuff is being videotaped. And then you got to go and you have to accept that part of it. The technology, what you can learn as a defensive lineman, and the story that's going to be told by the offensive lineman before you ever go against him, is something you have to learn from watching tape. You're going to look at the offensive tackle's hand placement, foot placement. Where is his balance being favored? Where is his weakness if he becomes susceptible to a move that Leonard Floyd can pull off? And that's going to really show the growth and the potential of Leonard Floyd. You're going to have your reps on the field, but you have to go back and investigate every single one of your opponents for the specific defense you're going to run and how you can use your strength to best win the battle. And that will be the fun thing to watch, is how he accepts the technology portion of it to make him a better and quicker and a faster playing defensive end.
Tom, he's wearing number 94 this season because his favorite player growing up, DeMarcus Ware, wore number 94 and still wears it for the Denver Broncos. And DeMarcus Ware found this out, so he went to Twitter and he tweeted at Leonard Floyd, and told him, technique breeds perfection. Make sure you work on your craft this season. I'll be watching you. Congrats, number 94. But you mentioned something really interesting, Tom, about understanding how to prepare, meaning when you're in the film room watching tape the right way. Who's teaching that to Leonard Floyd? Because he played a variety of different positions in college. The Bears have talked about, and even Floyd has talked about how, you know, maybe he wasn't used properly to take advantage of his unique set of skills. So who is the person that's responsible for teaching Leonard Floyd the right way to prepare?
You know, one of the best things about being involved in a team sport is when you go behind closed doors and you're with your position, the camaraderie should be as close as it possibly is for any part of the team or any segment. And there's conversation that's going on in there constantly. It doesn't have to be me going against this person to talk about it. If I see a teammate, if I see an opponent, and if I see someone from another team that does something well, that's what it's about. It's making sure that you sit in that room, and as difficult as it may be at sometimes because you're tired and that room is dark, and you know you do have to pay attention to it's just as important for Leonard Floyd to watch Willie Young and Pernell McPhee or any of the guys that are getting off the football as it is to watch himself. And like I tell you, between the down and distance and what the offensive formation is, the offensive linemen and the offensive line as a whole, their stance are going to tell you a lot about what they're going to do, and you got to be able to accept that part of the game, have an intelligent evaluation that's going to help you be a better football player.
But let's also look at this,
you know,
Jim.
You know, if I'm Leonard Floyd, who I tap is Vic Fangio. Look how the success that now his name's escaping me, now with the Raiders.
Alden Smith.
Look at the success that guy had as a rush linebacker and as a rush end with the San Francisco 49ers. If I'm Leonard Floyd, I would be tapping into Vic Fangio. Hey, how do I watch tape? How do I learn from this? And then Vic can probably give him really all the lessons and things that he needs to know, and probably the way that they used Alden Smith in San Francisco, I would think that formula would be pretty good for Leonard Floyd.
I know a lot of the coaches have talked about how they use tape of where they've been before and had success. You know, on the offensive line,
right,
Dave Magazu has shown them tape of the way they did things in Denver up front. Same thing in Carolina. So you have an idea. This is how it works. This is proof that it can be successful. But you know, let's talk about the human element of it for a bit, because the names that Tom mentioned, Lamar Houston, Willie Young, Pernell McPhee, these are veterans, you know, and what gives them an advantage over some of the young guys is their knowledge of the game. And you have guys that are coming in trying to take your job. How do you kind of put that into perspective? Because you guys have both been there on both sides of it, as young players and then as veterans late in your career. How much do you help the youngster knowing that that guy could potentially replace you?
Well, you know, the assistant coach that is running the projector inside the meetings when you're looking at drills this specific of offensive line one-on-ones. You know, when you're doing a teamwork, it's more the offensive coordinator that's running the projector. But when you're in a room looking at the specific techniques and a specific drill that will ultimately decide your fate, that position coach is running the projector, and he's using all of his past experiences, all the knowledge that he's grown through from the different guys he's coached that, you know, they have those quality traits are ingrained in their head. And you can go back to the Patrick Swilling, Ricky Jackson days of New Orleans. You can go to the Alden Smith days of San Francisco. All that knowledge that these coaches have earned over the years, that's what they're giving the hints and clues and the whereabouts to all these young guys who've never seen it before. But on the field, when the other guys are going through their reps, there's a constant conversation, whether a young guy or an old guy, about how to get better and what maybe they see a little bit before a young guy will have the experience.
What's the deal with the Bears secondary? We have to find out, and we will next after this break. Jim, hang on to that thought. We'll get to it when we come back. Tom Thayer is here as well. Zach Zabin with you. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access, the official tablet app of the Chicago Bears. Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, and 85 Bear Tom Thayer with you. We'll get to the secondary in just a sec, but I know, Jim, you wanted to say something right before we went to the break. What stood out?
Yeah, just what Tom was talking about, just learning from older players. I remember when Dick Turan brought in Clyde Simmons. If you remember, that's a talented defensive end. And he would just, in one-on-ones, pass rush or you know, team run, whatever. I mean, the guy was just down there schooling everybody. And so here, you know, you'd hear just all the, whether it's the offensive lineman or the other defensive lineman, just in awe of the handwork of Clyde Simmons. He had just had multiple moves and pass rush moves. He was basically just putting on a clinic every single day. And those rookies are watching that tape, and they're saying to themselves, you know, I just go back in time of what they were saying to themselves, I need to add that move to my repertoire. Well, let me file that one in the mental Rolodex as well. Because you could just go in and watch the tape of a veteran who's a pro's pro, and he was educating everybody on that defensive line every single day, as he would put on a clinic, and players are watching, and younger players learn from that. And if you're worth your salt, you're going to try and add another player's move and add their repertoire to your game, because it's only going to make you better.
Any concern, Tom, when you look at the Bears' secondary, specifically the safety position, and there's a very realistic possibility that the Bears are going to have a second-year man in Adrian Amos back there, along with a rookie next to him? There's not a lot of experience at that position when you look at all the guys that they have on the roster who will likely get a shot at starting.
No, because I want to see talent upgraded, Zach. I think if you're willing just to stand in place and either revisit the talent you had last year, or you're going to gain experience with Adrian Amos. I think that's a good thing. But I also think it gives another safety who's a young guy that's in there competing to be a starter. He has they got an example right next to him what you can have if you invest yourself in the game. So if the Bears fans ultimately want to see the Bears compete for a division that gets in a competitive Super Bowl playoff run, the team, the talent, the speed, the personnel has to get better. And safety is one of the key positions here, and it's no slight to anybody that's come along and played that position, but you know, the defensive backs are going to be as good as the front seven or eight can manipulate. So whether you have experience or inexperience back there, if you're not getting pressure from the front, it's going to be really challenging. But I'm not afraid of young guys back there, because I saw Adrian Amos have some growing pains, but I think his upside is really positive.
Jim, Vic Fangio brought up that the progression of this defense will go as fast as the progression that takes place with the quarterbacks of the defense, meaning the inside linebackers that have been added to the mix, the veterans Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman, and the trust that the coaching staff has in those guys as they pick up what Fangio wants to see from them from a defensive standpoint. From an X's and O's, can you kind of take us in the game what the coordinator is looking for and what is going to be the challenge for both Trevathan and Freeman in terms of picking up and understanding?
Well, I think like most defenses, there's going to be a lot of calls in terms of, you know, zone blitz automatic, you know, those type of things. You're normally going to line up in your base, but you're going to have certain checks as a defense in what you see the offensive team come out in what formation and things that you're going to check to, whether it's a zone dog blitz or anything like that, or a cross dog blitz with the inside backers. And those guys are going to be in charge of it. They're going to have to make all those calls to communicate to make sure everybody, all 11 players, are on the same page defensively, because that's the goal. If everybody's on the same page, you got a chance at the end of the day. I think those are both very productive inside backers, whether you look at Jarrell Freeman or Danny Trevathan. I probably think Trevathan is the better cover linebacker with what he can do and covering backs out of the backfield and things like that. But I think you want to have flexibility defensively, and I think that's what Vic Fangio wants to do as well. So I think they're going to be much improved, but much like Tom said, it's so much of the NFL now, your base defense ends up being sub. You're in substitution defense so much where the third corner comes onto the field that it, you know, it's just the way the NFL is trending. So really your sub defense ends up being your base defense, and I think the Bears will be better. but they're only going to be, their coverage is only going to be as good as their front seven. It's got to go hand in hand in terms of coverage on the back end and the type of pressure you provide with the front seven.
Get the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long by signing up at chicagobears.com/emails. And, you know, you guys talked about it, you know, more than 60% of the time, you're likely going to be in nickel, meaning you're not going to be a base 3-4 defense, which, you know, when we think of this defense, we constantly talk about it as being a 3-4, but it's going to morph into different things because of the fact that you're going to be in all these sub packages. You know, last year we saw a guy in Bryce Callahan develop as a trusted nickelback. Is that Tom still his position, or is he going to be challenged by one of the new kids that they drafted for the nickelback slot?
Oh, I think Bryce has his sights set on earning, winning, and holding that position along with his contribution on special teams. But every single guy that's given a jersey to start OTAs or training camps and are looking out to steal or earn his job. So that's the great thing about it is, you have to have that competitiveness that's always pushing the front runner for the job. And then, you see the talent and you see the way it's working itself out, and now you start earning the opportunity to, win those reps that go with the first or second defense. I think that's the great thing about this football team is if you really want to see it get into that a playoff contention that I talk about, that it has to get more competitive on the own practice field to make sure that the players are getting better every single practice out there. And it's a key element to the development of a team is making sure that Bryce Callahan has competition behind him, just like Kyle Fuller and Adrian Amos and every one of the guys in this team.
312-644-6767, the phone number here on Bears All Access. Southside, Big B, you are on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Zach, Jim, Tom, gentlemen, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm looking at all these Comcast Sportsnet reports of how they want our first round pick to bulk up. Now, my thing is, wouldn't it be better to have that Mark Anderson type, that speed edge rusher, that Dwight Freeney-ish type guy with the speed, not so much in size, but the speed. Wouldn't that be a better fit for what we got going on defensive-wise and Vic Fangio and the guys? I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys, and thanks for taking the call.
You're not going to get a Dwight Freeney every year, or, I think that Leonard Floyd has more ability than Mark Anderson. He kind of caught lightning in a bottle there. But, it is a part of the development of the players. You're not going to get, you don't want Leonard Floyd to be the same player that you drafted this year in 2 years. You want to see him with the experience and the size and the strength that he's developed into a quality NFL player, along with understanding all the assignments that go along with his position. So I like to see the upside and the potential with Leonard Floyd and, be able to use his length and his foot speed and his bendability to be the pass rusher that the Bears hope he is. But you're not just going to go out there and grab, Hall of Famers in each draft, no matter how badly you want them.
We have to take a timeout, Jim. When we come back, we'll get your thoughts on what Tom just had to say, and we'll break it down. Leonard Floyd going to be a big focus as the Bears head to training camp. Same thing with Kevin White. It's like adding two first-round picks this year on each side of the ball. You are listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Finish at Soldier Field when you participate in the PNC Chicago Bears 5K taking place Saturday, June 25th. Get more information and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. Zach Zaidman along with 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I cut him off before we were going into the break last time out. So, Jim, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I was just piggybacking off of what Tom said. I don't know. If you just go back and you look at last year with John Fox and his staff, it's not like they were afraid to throw guys in there. It's kind of like sink or swim. Adrian Amos, you're playing. You know what I mean? Callahan, you're up. Jones Quarte, here's your shot. Receivers, I mean, they weren't afraid to throw in Josh Bellamy or Marquise Wilson or anybody. It's their whole mantra just seems to be sink or swim. You're going to decide for us, so take advantage of the opportunity. And I think this year's approach will be pretty much the exact same by John Fox and his staff. These guys will have to prove to them sink or swim. If you're swimming, we'll leave you in there.
I think the difference, though, is that last year, I think injuries and as they were trying to turn over the roster, you know, you didn't have the kind of competition. We had the opportunity to talk to Ryan Pace last week, and he mentioned how competition is extremely important. You guys always talk about it. You know, when you look to your left and your right and you see somebody hunting to take your job, it changes the whole dynamic. The tempo increases in practice. You're just getting the best out of everybody, and that's what makes you better. So I think that, to me, is what I notice as being different this offseason, as not just the fact that everyone is a little bit more understanding of what they're trying to do defensively and offensively and even on special teams, but it's the fact that you have more guys that can take jobs, and that's the only way you're going to improve the football team.
Zach, you know, it starts on draft day, because you go back and you look at Cody Whitehair being drafted, and then all of a sudden you got Matt Slauson with the Chargers. And that starts the paranoia in any veteran's head, is because as soon as you go out there and you have someone drafted in your same position, you're convinced, okay, they're ready to get rid of me. I'm sure I'm going to be with another team this year. Or else, look, I got to work harder than I ever have before. That's my job, and I'm the best player at that position. It's what road are you going to take? And we've seen it from Sam Bradford this year, just to bring up an example. And sometimes that creates a negative on the team. So, you know, the fact that, you know, the competition starts as soon as you win a job and you are on, considered a first team on an NFL player, that's when the competition starts, because every time somebody comes in with your same traits, if you slide or if you start to slide, you know, look for him to get a couple extra reps behind you.
I think you see it up front on the offensive line. You know, the right side is pretty much set, I think, as of this time, when you look at Kyle Long playing right guard, and then you have Bobby Massey at right tackle. But there's definitely competition taking place at the center position. There's definitely a competition taking place at left guard. They like what Charles Leno did at left tackle, but there are going to be some other guys that are in the mix as well. And then when you look at, in my opinion, the tight end position is something that I think you're going to see a lot of competition come training camp, because you know what Zach Miller was able to do in his breakout year last year. But after him, I think there are a lot of question marks as to who else is going to be in the mix. So that's one of the areas that you look to. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, you can go across the secondary, up front on the defensive line. There are going to be a lot of different areas where I think, you know, the Bears are looking at. And what we have not talked about to date, which was a weakness at the beginning of last year, got better near the end: special teams. There has been, Jim, a heavy emphasis on improving special teams, both via free agency and in the draft.
Yeah, well, you can see that clearly when you pick up Bolden and other players that they've added to the roster. Has a background with Jeff Rogers, the special teams coach of the Bears. You know, and I think Robbie Gould understands that he's got a rebound as well. From a season that, you know, what probably was subpar compared to Robbie Gould and what he's done in the past. But I'm with you. I think they want improvement across the board, all three phases, because they have to. They were competitive in games. Now they've got to take it to the next level and be able to close it out. And the only way you can do that is to be better in every single area, because last year we kept on saying the margin is too small for this football team. The margin is better for the Bears that they can go in and compete. But if you shore up those areas, the games that they lost down the stretch, they'll be able to pull out victories here in year two under John Fox.
Hey, Jim, do you think the Bears, or any offense in the NFL, or the Bears offense specifically, do you need the three phases of the tight end position in order to be successful? Because Zach brought it up that you do have Zach Miller and what his talents are, but do you need the other contributors at that position and the size and the strength and the abilities in order to run a successful offense, goal line offense, short yardage offense?
Yeah, I think you want to be able to present certain packages to defenses. What do I mean by that? Let's say a team that you're playing goes down a linebacker. Okay, now you want to challenge the backup. I don't know, can the Bears, do they have a good Detroit personnel, a two tight end package that would legitimately threaten a team that way? You know, you could always extend a Zach Miller. We'll see the jump that Kari Lee makes at the tight end position. Rob Hauser, I think, is a pretty good inline blocker. But, you know, those are the areas you're trying to expose. And can you present those type of problems or those type of mismatches to your opponent in an area that they're weak? And I think that has yet to decide itself or declare itself from the Bears' standpoint at the tight end position since they shipped Martellus Bennett off to the New England Patriots.
Yeah, there's a lot of competition at that position, including one of the undrafted free agents that they signed, one of the more impressive guys that I've ever spoken to at Hallis Hall, Ben Broniker, tight end out of Harvard. Now, we mentioned him briefly on the show, but, you know, this is our first opportunity to visit with him this past weekend. He studied infectious diseases at Harvard and says that, you know, if football doesn't work out, he'll go into infectious disease research. But he was watching the draft, expected to be drafted, wasn't picked. And inside of him, it lit up an inferno. I mean, this guy was ticked off that he was not drafted, believes that he can play in the league. And, you know, when you have the strength that he's got, the high level of production at Harvard, but, you know, everything that he's got, does that help? You know, because I always hear when you talk to scouts that you want a guy who just, you know, eats, breathes, sleeps football. Can you do that and go to Harvard?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still mad I was drafted in the fourth round because I really was convinced to myself that I was more dedicated to being an NFL player than a lot of guys I came across in the combine. And I think that is one of the things that gets a lot of players over the hump and allows them to be successful is they have more faith in themselves than the coaches, scouts, or evaluators ever had in it. So I like the attitude coming in that I'm mad at where the lack of respect and knowing that I have the ability to play in the NFL.
Yeah, I think we've covered this before. When you look at Seattle, I mentioned that 54 of their players of their current 90-man roster are college free agents. Guys like Doug Baldwin has produced, Jermaine Kearse up there at the receiver position. If you go look, that team is littered with 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th rounders, and then college free agents that have come in and played. They only have 2 first-round draft picks that are currently on the roster. I mentioned Jermaine Ifedi, Texas A&M offensive lineman that they drafted the last pick of the first round. He's one of the two, is a rookie in terms of their first-rounders. So, as Tom mentioned, you definitely come in with a chip on your shoulder, and these players, they come in focus. They understand that they're not going to get the opportunities that the first and second rounders are going to get, and they make the most of their opportunities to stick on a roster. It bothers them their entire career.
Before we say goodbye, what's it like at Hallis Hall this week? Now that these rookies have had full practices after the mini camp and they're mixing in with the veterans, what's that like?
You know, it depends where you're at on the totem pole. You don't want anybody coming, you know, sniffing for your job. And, you know, it puts as much pressure on the veterans as the rookies feel the pressure's on them.
Tom, Jim, thank you so much. Another edition of Bears All Access has come to a close for Tony Gill on the other side of the partition and Jim Padgett. I'm Zach Zabeman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.